The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Everybody, welcome to Mind Pump. Welcome back. We're going to do a show today on something that the three of us have experienced every single year. We all come from the fitness industry. All of us, I think, in management positions, right? We've all been management, upper management positions. So we're recording this. It's close to the end of the year. And for anybody who's in fitness, the dreaded January comes.
Ooh.
January comes, the New Year's resolution. Oh, it's insane. Now, from a business standpoint, it's amazing. Gyms will sell, on average, anywhere between 20 to 50% or maybe even double their normal monthly revenue.
Oh, yeah. Easily double. Yeah. Easily
just double. Because it's January. And you know what I always found that was kind of fascinating? Is the first week of January sucked. It was always like December. Extended into January, and we're all stressed out.
It just membership.
It just showed you who really was signing up. They're that lazy. They got a free membership. They've made their New Year's resolution.
It's the cardio people,
right?
Dude. It's all the treadmill.
They made their New Year's resolution. I'm going to get back in shape, right?
Yeah.
And every day from the 1st till about the 17th, they're talking themselves finally into it. It took them 3 weeks to even get in there to get the follow up. And they're like, fuck, I got to start this. I said I made it my New Year's resolution. I at least got to get in there and buy it.
I would work in a gym and my goal would go from like, you know, because I ran some pretty big clubs. And so the goal would be like, normally would be like 180, 220,000. And then boom, $300,000 goal. And it's like the 10th of January. And I'm like at 50% of goal.
Nothing's
and I start
happening.
Sweating every year.
Oh, God, I remember that.
And then. Yeah. And then the rush.
Right.
Yeah.
Then the rush. It's insane.
Floods.
It's insane. I lived on SpeedStack and RipForce in January.
Those were the good old SpeedStack.
Oh.
Those were the ones that had Ephedra in them. Back
forget
on.
It was crack.
The real stuff. Right?
It was crack. Real stuff. It was.
Damn you, Adam, for ever exposing me to the SpeedStack.
you know,
he got everybody.
Do you guys remember the ingredients?
That's up, bro.
You remember the ingredients? All the ingredients in a SpeedStack?
Caffeine, Ephedra,
aspirin.
Aspirin. They did have aspirin.
Yes, it was the ECA stack. So they put white willow bark, which is herbal aspirin. It's like, you know, that's they make it sound a little bit better, but it's actually aspirin. You had 25 milligrams of ephedra alkaloids, which is like the FDA's maximum you
could
put in a
drink. That's your totaled RDA right there. We're drinking fucking four by noon.
Yeah. Oh, we used to,
more willow bark.
Yeah, I just pour it out on a table, dry it out, collect the powder and inject it directly into my eyeball because it was more effective that way.
This is so bad. We used to actually have, you know, you remember these big kickoff of the morning and stuff like that for closeouts. So the middle of the month and the end of the month is always the best time to buy a gym membership. If you guys don't know that, typically the end, because the end is like really the end, because
they have all the specials.
The way gym memberships, for those of you guys that
don't
know,
going out of business, sale.
Get you guys some little inside info while you're out there shopping.
Are you gonna let them in?
Gotta let them in.
You're going to let them in and let them know all the secrets?
We like them better than we like anybody else because they're the only ones listening to us right now. Yeah. So
all three of them.
So if all four of you go to get your memberships this January, if you don't have them already.
Mom, you're listening. If you go get your membership, listen to Adam.
This is how this works. So like Sal was saying, we had goals every single month. And, you know, if you were in management for a fitness club, that's what all the pressure was about. In fact, during Sal and my era for sure, when we were managing, if you did not hit goal for 3 months, you're out. You're out and you're into a small...
We might as well talk about the company we work for because, I mean...
We just let people assume. I'll just tell you guys this. It was the number one fitness company in the world, the only fitness business that was ever in the billions of dollars, and it sold to Fortune Middle. But we won't tell you guys the name.
Yeah.
So let you guys figure that out on your own.
Lots of locations. Open most hours.
So, but we could pick on them all day,
hours.
But pretty much everybody followed their format as far as how to structure a compensation plan to motivate these young speed stacked out kids that were selling memberships and personal training. So, and absolutely, we were all part of this era. some good times. But the way a membership, back to what we were talking about, the way it works is you've got these goals. So then what happens is, you know, somebody up there, whether it be at the district level or regional level, has the authority to basically, you know, drop rates and prices and waive enrollment fees. And they kind of keep that in their back pocket till it gets closer. They want to try and see if they can hit goal by just driving leads and driving new people into the clubs. And if they start to get to a point where it's looking like they're not going to, and this is when I say they're not going to collectively, like as a whole area. So all of San Jose, all 10 of their clubs, if they're all hurting really bad, then somebody up in like the regional area decides, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and roll out this special and we're going to drop the enrollment fee. We're going to waive 50% off the processing fee. And we're going to give you two personal training sessions that are valued at $180 for $99. So, and you get all these crazy sales. So if you want the best deal, you want to go at the very, very end of the month, the last day, if there's ever a possibility that they can give you a better price or hook you up with a deal, you're not going to ever beat the 31st. That's always going to be the best.
And it's,
right?
You know, it's, and as gym members now, of course, as guys who worked there, and we're, you know, making in our goals were to sell as many memberships as possible and generate revenue. We loved it. But could you imagine? I mean, how did the members, what do you think the members thought about January?
My God. They cannot stand all this influx of people that are just like coming in and like, and then this is where all the rules come in, where there's like, you know, 15 minutes on the treadmill. And then you get lines of people waiting right behind them and getting all pissed off. And oh, it was a nightmare to deal with.
I used to love, this is one of my favorite things, I used to love seeing people fight for parking outside. So they'd fight for parking to park closer to the gym.
Closer, yeah. It's
always closer. And then they'd come in and then they'd get on the treadmill and walk. I never understood that. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You could have walked from the back of the fucking parking lot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It never made any sense to me. As you know, it's interesting. People don't realize this, but in the fitness industry, especially in some of these big money-making fitness, you know, big box gyms, the sales process is extensive. As a matter of fact, I've worked with a lot of salespeople. Okay. I've worked with, you know, financial advisors, car salesmen, real estate agents. Some of the best salespeople, pure salespeople I've ever met in my entire life sold gym memberships.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. End of story. Done.
Well, let's be honest.
It's very personal.
You could be 20 years old. You didn't have to have a degree and you could make six figures.
Oh yeah.
I was making
$120,000 a year. I was 19 years old.
21 years old, I bought my house. So, and I come from, anyone that knows me, came from a very poor family, like food stamp poor. So it wasn't like, you know, I had some money waiting for me when I got older. You know, I paid for any sort of schooling I did, any sort of education, like it all came out of my own pocket. So, you know, to be able to buy a house at 21 years old, it is, you know, and I'm not 60 years old. So that's... So that was definitely what was so great about that industry was, you know, if you did have any talent and if you had that work ethic, it definitely drew a lot of those people, you know, together.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about why those sales guys were so good. I mean, two things. There's two reasons I think that this the guys who sold gym memberships were so good at sales. Number one, you're selling fitness. You're not selling a tangible product.
Yeah, it's, you know, a pretty easy sell. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it.
Well, I mean, it's easy, but it's not, because what do people leave with when they buy a membership?
Nothing.
They don't
an idea.
They leave with a dream.
But you paint that picture for them.
Thank you. That's clearly the sales aspect.
Right.
That's
right,
the sales aspect. Because I would sell $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, you know, memberships to someone who came in who'd never worked out before and they just spent $3,000. I mean, people don't go to buy electronics and spend $3,000 and they walk into a gym and invest that much money.
And then they get buyer's remorse and all that.
Well, hopefully they use it and they utilize it. But, you know, our job was to...
Well, I mean the electronics.
Oh, electronics. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
But, and then the second thing is the sales process is so fast. So, like, if you sell a home, you know, you meet a prospective client. How long does it take before you sell them a home?
Oh, yeah. 30, 45 days at the fastest possible.
Yeah, right? Maybe 2, 3, 4 months sometimes, right? Yeah. You meet a customer when they walk into the gym... And they're out the door in an hour with a membership, hopefully. You sold them a membership, which means your sales skills get really good because you practice all the time. You do 10, 15, 20 tours a day.
Right.
And so you just hone your skill. And ask any salesperson who's worth their salt, and they'll tell you practice makes perfect, just like with anything else.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
These guys were, I mean, some
it's all
hustlers.
About reps.
And it's amazing. Some of these guys that we worked with, you know, me and Adam have talked about this before too. Some of these guys that we worked with back in the day, in these gyms who no longer work in the fitness industry. They're like millionaires.
Oh, yeah,
right. Doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Almost anybody that I knew, that if you were making six figures at the gym back then, you're making that well over that right now doing something else.
Yeah, just because from you, what you learned.
Yeah, no, it was. I always refer to the company that we work for because a lot of people bash it and hate it, this and that. And I always think of them as bad parents. That's why I got this love for them because they're my parents. You know, it's like the first real business that taught me business. Yeah. You know, and I learned so much from them. Maybe I didn't think it was the right way, like because they did everything the wrong way, and mm-hmm. so I felt like I learned that way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I still learned. Right. Mm-hmm. And they still did buy me a house when I was 21 years old. Right. So I always think I refer to them as like my bad parents. Like they're just
some of my most fondest memories were from working in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was hardcore. For those of us who kind of are natural salespeople, you know, I love to communicate. I like to talk with people. I have a huge passion for fitness. So just, I mean, I walked in the doors and within 3 months I was a fitness manager, of one of the clubs and I had all these people working for me. It just happened naturally for me. And it was an environment where if you were driven, and you worked with the right people, you learned. I mean, I was lucky to have some good managers I worked for. It was an amazing, amazing time. That being said, it was crazy too. There was some crazy shit back then. And we entered right after all the crazy, crazy stuff used to happen. Like where, people were doing crazy shit in the back room.
I was still there. I mean, we did some pretty wild stuff where, I mean, you could roll in a keg for closeout. You know, there'd be beer that was,
oh, really?
Yeah, people were drinking beer and closeout.
I missed that wagon.
Yeah, that was way back.
Right before
it was a little bit before your time, entry. Right? So I remember that. I remember one of the best closeouts that my buddy and I had. We had, this is how it worked. Check this out. So it was for closeout, and each person, we went and literally spent like $500 on squirt guns. And there was all these different sizes, like the little tiny
$500 on squirt guns.
Listen, bro, listen to this. So, and the reason why
it's an investment.
It's crazy like this, right? So, well, back then we could literally make that right that night. You know, you can make $500 on closeout. Easily. Yeah. You make a couple thousand.
Oh, you're an idiot if you make 5,000. You make more than that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you know, believe it or not, it sounds like a lot of money, but him and I both as managers split that wasn't a big deal. So this is how it worked, was all the salespeople, all the staff, whether you were a trainer, sales, front desk, whatever. Once you reach certain numbers, you got your squirt gun. So if you got $500 sold, you got the first little water pistol. And you could squirt anybody who had the same size pistol or didn't have one when you had that gun. And so each level, we gave them bigger and bigger guns. So if you were sold like $3,000-$4,000 that day in training or in memberships, you had like the fucking super soaker.
This is fucking brilliant. This is the most brilliant thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, it's a great route. Me and my boy did this, right? So. You know, and I got to give him credit for sure, because this was his idea. I was just part of it, you know, which was I thought was one of the most amazing things we ever did. And so, dude, this is no, like, we were fucking blasting closeout, right? Closeout during prime time. I mean, it was.
Oh, it's insane.
I mean, hundreds of members came through that day. Hundreds, right? So.
Especially in January.
It got so out of hand, dude. People were dumping buckets of water on each other in the middle of a presentation. Someone with a big super soaker and somebody was trying to sell something. They had this little gun. They could get blasted in the face right in the middle of a presentation. Like, with the members.
And you sold more memberships.
Oh, we sold more. Members loved it.
Yeah.
It was all great. I mean, no one did anything stupid. Like, we didn't hurt any members, anything like that. We had all the caution wet signs up to try and cover our last liability wise and everything. But what a blast it was. Obviously, this was pre big time HR in our company. So once this company got really huge and HR came out,
then they'd slam the hammer.
The fun shit went away like that, because all the possibilities of something happening wrong with it. But let me tell you, that was probably one of the most memorable closeouts I ever had, was when we did that. It was awesome.
I got a story. So I started off as a personal trainer, went up to fitness manager, and then in those days they didn't let the fitness people, the people who were trainers, didn't move into management, you know, general manager. You either were sales and you moved up to general manager, or you were trainer and you moved up to fitness manager. Well, I wanted to move up to general manager, so they made me a senior sales counselor. I don't know if they had, did they have that position when you were there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically senior sales counselor, you run one of the weekend days. So I'm running a weekend day, and I'm extremely competitive. Anybody who knows me will tell you, I hate to lose, and I love to win. So here I am, it's a Sunday, and I'm competing with all these other clubs for first place, right? So I'm behind, I forgot what club it was. So I was at, I'm not going to say the name, should I almost say the name? But I was at, you know, $10,000, let's say, and the guy ahead of me was at, you know, $1,150. So I had to sell at least $2,000 to beat them for this weekend contest. Well, it's getting late. It's about 9:40 something. and I look out into the parking lot and I see a family walking in. And you can always tell if it's a member or if they're coming in to check out the club because they're in street clothes. They don't have a gym bag. And they're walking in and I'm like, okay, this is it. I have to sell. I have to close this deal. So these people come in and they were Japanese. So they're from Japan. So they spoke broken English. And I give this guy a tour. I sit him down and we start going and we start negotiating back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, I got to get this deal, right? So I'm presenting them a membership, personal training. It comes to $2,000. Finally, the guy stands up and he's like, okay, I'm not going to get this. I'm just going to come back tomorrow, which, of course, we all know what that means.
Doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. He's not coming back, yeah, right? Yeah. So during this month, we had this big contest. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but we would have contests every month. And the way the contest usually worked was if you were a member and you worked out, you got to fill out an entry form. And so the more you worked out, the more entry forms you had filled out. And then there was a prize. Well, this particular month, there was this beautiful big like chrome barbecue that we had in the middle of the club.
Oh, yes.
And so like if you worked out, you filled out an entry form, you could potentially win this barbecue. So this guy's in my office right now. I'm trying to sell him. He stands up. He's like, no, we're gonna leave. And so I'm like, okay, hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. So I go out and I get this fucking barbecue from the middle of the gym. And I roll it into the office. And I'm like, if you enroll today, I'll throw in this barbecue, right? This is a true story. I'm like 18 years old, and I have no idea.
That's
what, you know,
awesome.
There's no rules for me. Like, the fuck, I'll give away the barbecue. So he buys the membership. I win the contest, right? I'm like the hero. So, you know, but the next day, my general manager comes in, my buddy Don. I'm not going to say his last name, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
So he's like, oh, good job, Sal. It's your first weekend. You won. You beat everybody, this and that. And he's like, you know, and
where's the barbecue?
I hear him talking to the operation. He's like, where's the barbecue? I'm like, I don't know. This is really weird. And they're kind of confused at what's going on. I'm like, I'm not saying shit.
Oh, shit. You didn't say anything.
Well, about 4 days later, I see the Japanese dude walking in and he rolls up. He parks his truck outside the front of the gym and the barbecue's in the back of the fucking truck.
He still has it in the truck?
And he brought it back.
He's so proud of
it. Back.
Oh, no, he brought it back.
He canceled his membership?
No. Even worse. So this fucker comes in. He's got the barbecue in the back of the truck. He walks up to the front desk and I'm like, oh, I'm behind my general manager who's at the front desk. So I'm sweating. I'm like, what's this guy going to say? And he goes, oh, hi, I joined and I got the barbecue in my membership, but it doesn't work. It's broken. I need a new one. And my manager's like, what barbecue? He's like, that one out there. Oh, that was a tough.
Oh god,
that was a tough one. I don't know how I didn't get fired.
You know what you just reminded me
couldn't
of?
Get the propane started, huh?
You know, you talk about things that we used to do as far as I guess playing with that gray area, right? So
gray area,
yeah, right.
I jumped over the line.
Yeah, okay. So maybe this is over the
manipulated.
Well, I'll let you guys
contest.
Decide how over the line this is. But something that we used to have also was as managers, we actually back then we used to have a budget of like vendors and things that we could give out free memberships to them if they came in and they held booths and they did,
oh, yeah.
we did trade basically, we traded out with them. So what we would do is we would trade out with massage clinics and dry cleaning and my boy
we yeah because you guys got hooked up.
car wash, movie theaters. Dude, I didn't pay for a movie theater for like at least 3 years of my life. I didn't pay for a single movie ticket in my life. I got all my dry cleaning done for free. I got my car detailed every single week.
Fuck. You know what?
Those massage deals are great.
Not that we're ever going to work for these companies again.
Oh, God, no, we definitely
but now
can't.
We're really fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to hire
us
back. A bunch of shit.
Yeah, I hope I don't go broke because I have to go back there and work.
I don't do corporate, dude. I just don't do it.
That was always my plan B. But I guess that's over now. I guess to bring it back to the original subject, we always do this shit, right? We go yeah. way the fuck off course, and then
well,
we're
you just here. Started talking.
Let's
man,
talk about motivation, right?
Yeah, is that like, what the mean, January? The people who come in
this
in January.
Is the hype. That's what we're talking
this
about.
This is the yeah. hype right now.
If you come in January, here's the deal. This is what's going to keep you motivated. Okay, you're super motivated. First of the year, you're fat because it's Christmas, Thanksgiving. The average American gains like 5 to 10 pounds.
How dare you?
Yeah,
I'm not that fat.
No, I'm PHAT fat.
Oh, good.
Not normally fat. Okay. Yeah. So they gain weight. They come in. They're motivated to work out. It's January. Everybody's, New Year's resolution. This is where people fuck up. You just get started. So what do? They work out every day.
Oh, yeah. Balls to the wall.
You're going to burn out, and you're going to hate it. So this is what you should do. Give yourself a schedule. Find 1, 2, max 3 days a week that you're going to put on your schedule, and no matter what, you're going to go. If that means you can only do once a week, then fine. Get once a week and commit to that. You know, Monday night or Saturday night or whatever. That's the time I'm going to go to the gym. Step number 2, hire a personal trainer. And if they're expensive, if you don't have the money to afford working with a trainer regularly, then work with them infrequently. Mm-hmm. Train with them once a week or once every 2 weeks just to follow up. You're so much more likely to show up when you have a personal trainer. And then, of course, all the information and the way they're going to train you and teach you, you're so much more likely to stick with it. And we actually had statistics on that, right? People who work with trainers tend to stay something like three times as long mm-hmm. and use the gym twice as much as the average member. Mm-hmm. So those are the two pieces of advice that I could give somebody.
Can I say about the personal training? Do not be afraid to spend money on your personal trainer. And what I mean by that, and just so you guys know, I don't private personal train anymore. So this isn't like a plug for myself right here. So, okay, I do not do training anymore. I do not do one-on-ones. But if you go and invest in one-on-one personal training, do not go for the cheapest possible deal with a personal trainer, because you are better off spending, you know, more money on less sessions with somebody who is experienced and intelligent and mm-hmm. will design mm-hmm. you a very good program and educate you in those 4 hours than some dumbass is going to spend with you for 12 hours for half the price.
Yeah, don't waste your time. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. Like, how much do you value your time? Like, I know a lot of people get really motivated, so let's try and make that as beneficial as we possibly can for you. And just like Adam said, like, unfortunately, just like any other industry you go into where somebody might have a higher price tag, well, they got there for a reason, and their experience speaks for itself. Their client list speaks for themselves. There's a lot of day-to-day processes that you do. You have trial and error. You know, there's a lot of things that you experience with clients that you improve on. So it's not to say the beginner right out of college that knows a lot of book smart processes and protocols isn't effective, and they are effective. But at the same time, like, there are a lot of little tiny things that, like, you just tweak an angle a certain degree. You just, you know, you ask the right questions. You know, you guys are on the same kind of a level where the communication is a lot better, which is a huge thing, to where you're going to have a much better experience and you're going to see results.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and you're much more likely to be consistent when you work with someone.
Well, yeah. You said it before, and, you know, this is something I've heard you say many a times is, you know, you got to like the person too, you know, so.
Yeah, if you don't hit it off with them, if you can't imagine spending an hour with this person every single week just to hang out, then you're not going to work out with them. Fuck. I mean, let alone hang out where you can actually chill with someone and you're looking at that person. I wouldn't hang out with that person. And you're going to work out with them, something that you don't enjoy anyway. Right. No, they better be someone you enjoy. You know, here's the deal. I know you guys will agree with me on this. A half-ass, mediocre routine that's done consistently is more effective than an excellent program that's done rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Do not be that person that paralysis by analysis. Don't spend more time designing your program or focusing on what you're going to do than just getting your ass in there and doing
it. It's actually funny that you say that, because I know you live your life that way. So do I. I don't analyze. There's no analysis. I just go. Right. I'm never paralyzed. I just fucking, I think I'm going to do something. All right, let's just do it.
Right?
Why don't we plan for it? What's that?
I'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. No organization whatsoever on that end. But yeah, working with a trainer, you know, I can't tell you how many times, Justin, I'm sure you've had this happen to you too as well. I can't tell you how many clients hire me initially and they're like, okay, I just want to do, you know, 10 sessions just to get me ready for, and then they're with me for 8 years.
Yeah.
And they're there. And,
well, can I stop you?
14 years, you're like, whoa.
Dude, how about this, what you just said too? Do not be that person who goes in and tells your fucking trainer what you need. Okay. If you got a good trainer, his job is to assess you and help you figure out what you need. Because if you have to hire a trainer, which most people I believe do and should, if he's good, he's going to be able to assess you and help you tell you what you need over what you want. Of course, mm-hmm. we all want a flat stomach and ripped abs and biceps and chest and mm-hmm. all these things. Well, of course, we all want the cover of a magazine.
Yeah.
But let him educate you on your body, your overall health, and that, because it's more about that. Because you know what? Like, whipping yourself into shape, like, you can do that on your own. If you just want to lose a bunch of weight, stop eating so much damn food and move your ass 10 times more.
You're eating too much.
You don't need a trainer for that. But if you want someone who's going to teach you about your body, what's going on with it, how to move properly, how to live a healthier, better life, in addition to that, control your metabolism and actually do whatever it is you want to do, whether it be build muscle, lose fat, jump higher, run faster, that's what you want. You want a trainer who's going to be able to educate you and teach you on that. So,
well, here's some other tips too. Time of day to work out in a gym. It's going to be packed after work. Mm-hmm. So between prime time, we used to call prime time at the gym between 4 and 8 or 9, right? So it's going to be in right around 5, 6 o'clock. It's a fucking zoo in the gym, especially in January. I mean, literally some of the big clubs I've run, you had to walk sideways through certain areas. Oh, yeah. Like it was a nightclub.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. So
lines to get on a treadmill. Yeah, that was always my favorite too.
Yeah, getting
people
in line
that would sit and wait for 30 minutes
to get on a treadmill.
To run on a treadmill for 30 minutes.
There's so many things you could do in there. Just get on something
run
else.
In place at that
they
point,
would just
right?
stand yeah. there and with their arms folded. And don't you remember as a manager too? We used to have a 20-minute limit, so we had to constantly be managing that because there'd be people that'd be just waiting and waiting and waiting.
You know what's funny? We used to say some bullshit line, and they told us to say this. And at the time, I actually didn't know any better, but they used to be like, how come it's only 20 minutes? Because that's the fat burning zone. Any longer than that, you burn muscle. That's not true. But they told us to say that, and I actually believed it. Can you believe that? If you go longer than 20 minutes, you'll burn muscle. So that's why we do the max. No, we do 20-minute max because there's too many people using cardio. That's the truth.
That's bro science.
Yeah, but if you're going to go when it's super packed, unless you're one of those people that likes to work out with shitloads of people around you, it's probably not a good idea to go after work. And statistically, they show that people who wake up and go to work out before they go to work or more likely to be consistent longer. Mm-hmm. And if you go at 6 a.m., it's a semi-busy time, but it's not even close to the 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
No, so if you set that on your schedule, like I am going to go to the damn gym at 6 a.m. on Mondays or Tuesdays or whatever, you set your day and you go before work, you're far more likely to be consistent. So I recommend trying that at least in the beginning.
And let's just be like completely honest. Like it is all about consistency, frequency. Like it, I mean, like
sure.
You guys, you know, we're talking a little bit about like having the right proper techniques and getting involved with the right trainer and everything. But really it's, you know, get your ass in the gym and then keep going and keep going and keep going like mm-hmm. as much as you can. If that's, you know, what's going to do it. If you're not self-motivated at your house and you have your own tools and all this other stuff. But I mean, if you're trying to get all shape, you know, rapidly for the new year, like let's be honest, it's probably, you know, the gym is.
Oh, it's a huge drop off. By the time March, April comes around, it's back to normal.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody drops off, their memberships. What are some alternatives? You know, what are some alternatives to going to these big gyms? If you want to get in shape in January, let's say.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of, the direction
boot camps,
I think,
classes,
where you see all of us, where we've kind of evolved to is now, I mean, your phone is so powerful
mm-hmm.
and there's so much great information that you can get out there for really cheap, reasonable prices. I mean, all of our eBooks are less than what it costs to even spend an hour with us, which mm-hmm. is a hell of a lot more than an hour of our knowledge. So when you think of things like that, you could download information, you can read it, you can educate yourself on it. And a lot of the stuff you can apply. Shoot, we're working on a game right now that you can actually play a fitness game and it can be outside the gym and not even inside of a gym. And it's designed to progress you through just like you would through your whole phases of working out. And we would personal train you, but it's mindless for you. You just got to click it on and
just follow it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, we're not the first ones to invent something exactly like that. There's a lot of different tools that exist that I think people can actually do a little bit of homework and research. I mean, it's really, I feel like everything is so accessible. I mean, follow all of us, you know, there's between all of us, you can click on a link and start reading and you'll find a lot of good information between YouTube videos and eBooks and things that we've already written and all the stuff that we have coming.
Well, I'm thinking right now too, maybe, I don't know how are we doing on time, Doug? Because I'd like to go over maybe the different gyms and what to expect. Right? Because there might be some people right now that are kind of first timers.
There's a very, very different demographics at all of them.
Right. So you have your your 24-hour fitness.
Okay.
Which I'd put up there with like a Bally's or maybe those type of clubs, right? Mm-hmm. Those are more
LA Fitness,
more of your general big box gyms.
30,000 to 50,000 square feet.
Yeah. You know. 20,000 to 50,000.
The actual like person coming in that knows anything about fitness is probably a lot lower.
Right. So you're going to get a lot of first timers. Those are the ones that do the big, big, big sales in January. Mm-hmm. They tend to have more amenities like swimming pools,
basketball courts,
that kind of stuff. Their weight rooms are sufficient, but they're not
commercial. There'll be commercials on in the radios.
Yeah. What are the pluses? Well, if you join at 24 Fitness, they have lots of locations. They're open 24 hours, you know, yada, 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 that type of thing. If you're more serious-minded in terms of resistance training, or if you just want no frills, I'd say Golds.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Golds is probably your deal, right? You Golds walk in
or Worlds. Does Worlds even exist anymore?
I wish they did around here.
There
I
was one in, Worlds. Yeah, yeah, in Santa Cruz.
But it, you basically you go in. They have weights and cardio.
Mm-hmm.
There's no swimming pool. There's no basketball. But they have lots of weights,
right,
and a decent amount of cardio,
yep, and some serious people.
And then you have your clubs like Crunch right. Fitness, which is excellent for classes. They're really known for their classes.
Exactly what they're known for.
Mm-hmm. So they'll do things like acrobatic, you know, yoga, or you know, they'll have a live DJ in there spinning music, or Zumba style classes. But they're not the generic kind of cookie cutter. They have the actual salsa dancers.
The spin
dancers.
With like techno and all kinds.
Yeah.
Of
so stuff. If you're like yeah. really into like you know, group classes, I'd say Crunch might be a good option, right, type of deal. And then you have your upper kind of crust gyms where they're a little nicer.
Right, like your Silver Creek, your country clubs.
Country club type gyms. And you're going to get a little bit of a nicer, cleaner
the
type
ones
of,
you don't want to deadlift or do. Yeah. If you drop a weight, the whole yeah. gym turns around and stares.
And then you
you
have and then you have gyms like Planet Fitness, where if you go into Planet Fitness, don't subscribe to my fucking channel and listen to me ever again. Right. I hate that gym.
Unfollow us.
Unfollow
right
us, Planet Fitness. That,
is, that is definitely probably. Yeah. That, I, you know, I think we could bash almost every gym and pick them apart, but that's the one where I don't even they don't even deserve.
We
us
just
to
don't know.
About
we're gonna
it.
Do a separate show. On that gym.
Just
we have
them.
To talk about
oh,
that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We could.
Yeah. And then you have your small facilities, your small studios where, you know, they're specialized in personal training or they specialize in yoga or Pilates. Those places have great retention rates. They have the best retention rates. The smaller and more private a facility is with less members but more instructors, you're more likely to stick around. It's going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. But you're far more likely to stick around. So if you have even a semi,
people feel overserviced and yeah. they get the value of that.
Well, yeah. what's really ironic about that is that it is the smaller boxes and they have such little traffic in comparison to a 24 Hour Fitness, a Bally's, or any of those big commercial type gyms, because everyone's flocking to that thing. That's what's best for them. But I mean, just like we talked about earlier, where you're going to find a trainer who charges, you know, in the mm-hmm. upper echelon like ourselves, $100-$150 an hour. You know, yeah, that's really expensive, but it's also because he yeah. knows he's that good.
Yeah, and also we're also in an area where, by the way, because you know Adam's quoting these rates, and yes, we do charge. You know, I charge $150 a session for my single session. Part of that's because I think I'm worth it, and part of that's also because of the location I'm in. You know, we are in the Bay Area. We're located mm-hmm. here in mm-hmm. Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So if you're hiring an excellent trainer in Mobile, Alabama, he's probably not going to charge $150. He might be like, you know, $80 or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
So also, of course, so I don't want to freak everybody out because people are like, oh, my God, you know, if you're living over there and you're like $150, that's my rent.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.